Gigi's seizures may be provoked by a large range of music, from rock to classical. The first time I saw him, he played a Verdi aria on his cell phone. After about half a minute, this induced a complex partial seizure. He speaks of romantic music as being the most provocative, especially Frank Sinatra's songs. He touches a chord in me. He says that the music has to be full of emotions, associations, nostalgia. It is almost always music he has known from childhood or adolescence. It does not have to be loud to provoke a seizure. Soft music may be equally effective. But he is in particular trouble in a noisy, music-permeated environment, so much so that he must wear earplugs most of the time. His seizures start with or are preceded by a special state of intense, involuntary, almost forced attention or listening. In this already altered state, the music seems to grow more intense, to swell, to take possession of him, and at this point he cannot stop the process, cannot turn off the music or walk away from it. Beyond this point, he retains no consciousness or memory, though various epileptic automatisms, like gasping and lip-smacking, ensue. For Gigi, music does not just provoke a seizure. It seems to constitute an essential part of the seizure, spreading, one imagines, from its initial perceptual locus to other temporal lobe systems, and occasionally to the motor cortex, as when he has generalized seizures. It is as if at such times the provocative music is itself transformed, becoming first an overwhelming psychic experience and then a seizure. Another patient, Sylvia N., came to see me towards the end of 2005. Mrs. N. had developed a seizure disorder in her early 30s. Some of her seizures were of grand mal type, with convulsions and a total loss of consciousness. Others were of a more complex type, in which there would be some doubling of consciousness. Sometimes her seizures seemed to be spontaneous or a reaction to stress, but most often they occurred in response to music. One day, she was found unconscious on the floor, having had a convulsion. Her last memory before this was of listening to a CD of her favorite Neapolitan songs. No significance was ascribed to this at first, but when she had a similar seizure soon afterwards, also during the playing of Neapolitan songs, she started to wonder whether there could be a connection. She tested herself, cautiously, and found that listening to such songs, either live or on a recording, would now infallibly arouse a peculiar feeling, followed quickly by a seizure. No other music, though, had this effect. She had loved the Neapolitan songs, which reminded her of her childhood. The old songs, she said, they were always in the family. They always put them on. She found them very romantic, emotional. They had a meaning. But now that they triggered her seizures, she began to dread them. She became particularly apprehensive about weddings, coming as she did from a large Sicilian family, because such songs were always played at celebrations and family gatherings. If the band started playing, Mrs. N. said, I would run out. I had half a minute or less to get away. Though she sometimes had grand mal seizures in response to the songs, Mrs. N. more often experienced just a strange alteration of time and consciousness in which she would have a feeling of reminiscence, specifically the feeling of being a teenager, or the reliving of scenes, some seemingly memories, others clearly fantasies, in which she was a teenager. She compared these to dreams, and said she would wake from them as from a dream, but a dream in which she retained some consciousness, though little control. She was able, for instance, to hear what people around her were saying, but unable to respond. That doubling of consciousness which Hewlings Jackson called mental diplopia. While most of her complex seizures referred to the past, she told me on one occasion, it was the future I saw. I was up there, going to heaven. My grandmother opened up the gates of heaven. It's not time, she said. And then I came too.